Hello everyone, my name is Adriana Candeias and I'm an Authentic Relating Facilitator. I have just offered a Q&A session on why Authentic Relating may be the best thing to learn during 2021. And my participants to this session brought very interesting questions which I answered in a little bit of an introduction to the practice, but also sharing a little bit how I benefit and how I've been applying it, not only professionally, but essentially personally. I have a great passion for this discipline. I love the community that I have been joining in the last couple of years who practice. We are very interested about going deeper, but even furthermore, I'm really excited by how this practice is being launched around the world, how it may improve the connection we have with each other and how we become even more aware of who we are and what our needs are and how we can show up even more fully in the world. So I hope you enjoy this recording, which I have edited for the sake of confidentiality, and I would love to hear from you, to receive your feedback, and if you need any more information about these practices, how we teach them, and any other work related where I definitely infuse my teachings and my courses with authentic relating. All the best. Enjoy and have a lovely 2021.
So thank you and welcome. And I'm going to take you through the first practice of authentic relating, which is connect to self. And then I'll ask you to talk if you want to, and to ask your questions and tell me why you're here. So connect to self is one of the aims of this discipline. We connect to selves, we developed tools to understand what's going on for us. So then when we relate to others, we are more available. So in this discipline, we developed skills to more easily stay connected to ourselves, to our desires, to our needs, whilst we also connect to others. And the result of that is that we are more present with what is happening with us, rather than with the stories that we bring from our past and from our other relationships, or from the same relationship, but in a different time and space. So we relate authentically. The stories may be true, but in that moment, if we just based on our past or our projections into the future, we don't know exactly what's happening. So in order to develop that skill, we do a practice always, which we call connect to self. And I'm going to take us through. It won't be too long. It's going to be a couple of minutes. But the idea is that we take this time to really see what looks like to be myself right now and here. For me, the why is the most important thing. And again, it's one element of our relating that we do concentrate a lot, because when I hear your whys, even if I don't agree with your what you want to do, but if I understand, if I hear why you want to do that, then I'm connecting with you, not with the thing that you want to do. If I hear your how, and some of you were expressing your how by telling a little bit what happened during the day, what are you doing, your environment, what are you going to do, how it has been in the long term, how it has been just 10 minutes ago. That gives me a sense of how you are here, arriving here. So when I relate to you, I have that into consideration. And then the what is, I may be curious about. Let's get into the details. What is really that you are bringing right now? And so I then can connect with your what, but I will definitely, and that's my experience with authentic relating, is that by having those three stages so clear. And for example, it's not strange for me the why, how, what is actually a quite advanced piece in authentic relating. And I will explain what means advanced. But it's something that is easier for me because I have a research background. I used to be a researcher in academia. So everything has to be very well explained. We cannot, in biology, you cannot make assumptions. If we finish a sentence with a sentence mark, we have to be very clear that's what we want to say. So another thing that happens is that, okay, what I want to do, why I want to do, and how I'm going to be doing. That's very scientific. And so I think that's one of the reasons why authentic relating really was easy for me. But some of you explained, want to step deeper into something that seems totally new. And I see that as a really sign of trust. Because there's so many new things out there for me that I'm not curious, but there is an element of trust that led me to go to certain things. Authentic relating, I tell you, I was actually practicing authentic relating before. I design of many, many things I've been doing throughout the years. One of them is designing new things. And I designed a retreat some years ago, and my partner on that retreat brought some exercises that he mentioned being from authentic relating. Like, oh yeah, of course, that's authentic. I've done that before. So when I came back to London, he said, Adriana, come and see a little bit more where I'm coming from. Okay, I joined the level one with art, authentic relating training. We call it Art International. It's the organization that I'm more connected with. Although authentic relating is actually a discipline that is practiced for many years, and there's many organizations and people create their own games. We call them games because they are experiences, and we go with an attitude of play. It's a play there, and then we can apply them in real life. But authentic Art International is the organization that I did the levels, and what I liked a lot about their programs is that they are very clear. And so it's like very, very approachable in the moment, but also very easy to apply outside. But that's something that I will explain if you're curious about the programs. But going back to that, I had that experience. And for me, that the easiness of authentic relating, it was very much in the language, like Natalia was saying. Okay. And what I find with other disciplines, and this is to bring us back to what may be different, is that it's a very embodied practice, okay? Which means what? That I am using my body as a tool to inform me how I'm feeling. Not just my mind, not just my ideas, but my body. And so that's why when we started, I led you through the practice of connect to self, because the idea is to do that all the time. Mm. So for me, that links to something that is already happening. I work with health, with natural health. I need to know how my body, I'm a woman. I see the changes in my body every month, every day, if I'm connected. So it felt very natural then. How does it happen? It doesn't happen like in many other embodied practices that we really go into the body. That's not what we do in authentic relating, like massage, try with the touch, movement, dance, etc. But we bring the awareness that the body is here for us. And then as we express, we do try to keep as simple as possible, okay? And the language, once we tap into the simplicity of the language, then it becomes easier and easier. And that may be what you will find when you do the courses or you go for, I've been doing authentic relating. When I say introductory courses, I actually teach a lot, and they felt a little bit introductory, but actually it's normal to want to teach a lot. But there are quite a few trainings out there. But the level one, for example, it's 2 days. It used to be 2 days. Now we have the 2 days, but we also have the 6 sessions during 6 weeks. And what happens is that the principles of authentic relating, they are taught and they are practiced in experiences with others. And then once we experience those games, when we go out into our normal life, they just are likely to come very naturally. And perhaps some of you could testify for that after doing the trainings, either with me or with Art. Because it's just the language is there. And that's what I noticed for myself. I've done a lot of personal development things. I trained as a coach, etc. And then suddenly with this, I was just like, oh, I can actually talk with anyone like this. It doesn't have to be in a therapeutic room or in a workshop room with other women like Christine was doing. I would just go, for example, to my grocery shop, and I realized I was talking to him differently. You know, like just feeling the response he had. I think it was something about I asked for something and he didn't have it. And I could feel connect to him by the frustration of not having not having something I asked for. But because I felt that, and I felt myself, I was like, it's actually quite frustrating for me. So, wow, we are both frustrated of something that we cannot control right now. And thank you so much. I hope I'll have it another day. Hope you have it too. Because he was as frustrated as me. I gave an example a few days ago on a Facebook post. I may say, you know, when what's happening to you, I encounter a friend, he has a face, looks angry, doesn't say hello in the nicest way. And I may start my conversation by saying, what's happening with you? Why are you so angry? Why are you not saying hello? But if instead of putting my attention on that person, I say, wow, you know, I'm feeling there is something challenging for me right now, because I noticed that your face have an expression and I'm having an assumption that actually you're not very well, you're angry. And because we haven't spoken, I'm actually making a whole story that you're angry at something I've done. And I wonder if that's true. There's nothing in this that I shared that the other person cannot listen to, hear. It's my process. And no one can take my process away. The person may then say, no, I'm not angry. I actually have just a belly pain and I really can't stand staying up and I need to sit down immediately. I'm so sorry, I have no patience. And there's a headache coming up. And that's it. I clarified an assumption I had, which before I may have still felt, oh, he's angry at me. But because I took a time to understand what that represented for me and what was I really observing? What was I really observing? I was not observing anger. I was observing facial expressions, body language. And then I had all this story about me. This has to do with me. So when I brought that to the other, they had an opportunity to say, yeah, actually, you know what? I'm still feeling a little bit triggered by the conversation we had earlier on. Or, no, I just have a belly pain and I need to sit down and I have no patience for this conversation. And that changes the whole thing for me. Because then I go like, oh, okay, gosh, yeah, go. Or, is there anything you need if I'm available? And it may be that there is something in that relationship that needs to be clarified because I still had an assumption he will be angry at me. So perhaps I need to sort out those assumptions. But in that moment, I'm relating to that person exactly as they are because I took time to check. So that's a practice we do in authentic relating. We really train ourselves to identify the assumptions, to identify the stories we are having in our minds, and we learn to express them to the other in the first person. I am noticing this. So that's where the whole ball game changed for me when it came to compare this with other practices. You know, I've trained in NVC, nonviolent communication. There's so much benefit in it. I dealt with my own issues. Actually, nonviolent communication was very important for my own self, for my understanding what I need when I'm angry. And I like some of the advice they give. But I noticed that for me, the way people spoke to each other didn't feel very as if we were taking responsibility. I was reacting to my judgment on what other people were saying. And because authentic relating includes that in the practice, I am noticing something. Is that true? Just that curiosity. What is going on for you? I just find it like, oh, wow, this is so alive all the time. Oh, and I relaxed and I was, whew. Because sometimes I would get fed up of myself. So when, for example, Ara, you said something about everybody's nervous and everybody's going through so much challenges and etc., I'm curious about if you can take that as your own perception. What is your perception? And even if your assumption and your intuition and your ability to read others is like 99.9%, I would say that just because we speak from like, I'm just noticing that the way I see people makes me think they are so in struggle, so nervous. And I feel that we should all be happy because it would make my life easier. I find I am not so available for taking more of that information. So it's very likely that you're right. So likely. Because we are assuming that these times are challenging for everyone, right? But why authentic relating is important for me during COVID? Because there are people out there that don't struggle with this. And when I connect with them, my first reaction will be like, you are insane. You have absolutely no idea of what's going on in the world, right? How can you basically, you don't need to connect with people. You're not even human. How can you not miss meeting people? Something wrong with you. But with authentic relating, when we're really conscious about this, I'm actually curious. It's in the moment where I feel more difference with the others that I feel like, wow, okay, what's going on for you? What is that is good about this for you? Because I have this idea that this cannot be good for anyone. Because for me, not being in connection with others in the same room and laughing together and touching each other has been like so challenging. So I'm so curious, what are the resources that I would need to feel that COVID was actually a good thing? So it's just changes. And I'm just, yeah. So I'm really curious about how this is landing for you. I noticed that right now in our screen, I noticed the silence. And normally this will have me very worried, you know, with the people coming to my lectures. Oh, they don't say anything. But I'm also assuming that for some of you, this resonates and others will like, wow, never thought about that. Or I wonder how it's going to be for me. And I resonate with that because I spend a lot of time in silence these days since I met authentic relating. Because I didn't have to relate. Because I choose to relate when I have resources to share really what's happening for me. And if I don't have those resources in place, then I prefer not to relate. And I may just say, as I said in the beginning, shall we slow down? I think I need to see you tomorrow. Today I need to be with myself, or I need to go and talk with another friend, or I need to call someone and say, can we play the empathy game, please? Because then there's all these resources that we learn. And although authentic relating can be applied with anyone, and I'll answer your questions if you're curious, but you know, it's so beautiful when we apply it with people who do not know anything about it. But also when we have friends that have done the courses or know what we're talking about, wow, you know, can we just go for a walk and I'll do some feedback and reflection? I really think that authentic relating provides us with tools where we really resolve, we transform conflict. We actually use the word, the expression of conflict transformation, and I have applied enormously in my life. Conflict transformation has been one of the most beautiful things that I gain, which very often has me feeling more connected to those I was in conflict with, rather than, that's it, you've spent your bullets, I've had enough from you, our friendship is over, you know what, I love you, and I leave you. It's okay, you know, that's okay as well. There's nothing wrong with saying I don't have availability for this interaction right now. One of the reasons I do this work is because I was looking into the physiology of relationships and oxytocin and the pleasure hormones. And wow, you know, when we have more flood of hormones that are those who give us pleasure or associated with pleasure, they are also the healing hormones. And those are the same hormones that we developed when we are in a harmonious relationship and we feel safe with others. And that is one of the reasons why I really feel that if we cannot change many other things in the meantime, authentic relating can bring a flush of hormones into our interactions that not only has us feeling healthier, but also have more pleasure. And both go hand in hand. So that's the kind of world I would like to live and leave my daughter with. And I've commented on the thing about feeling vulnerable and not being not finding others to mirror my experience, because they are also, what I perceive from them is that they are in a very different experience. So I wonder if there are tools out there where I can feel connected to those, even if they are anxious, even if they are experiencing COVID very differently, even if they are for lockdown or if they are totally against lockdown. Can I connect with those people within the difference of opinions? And I can tell you that if there is one discipline out there that helps me doing that, it's definitely authentic relating. Someone asked me very specific details about the course structure and the teaching plan, the content, and it's very beautifully displayed on the website, on one page, so I can put the link here for you. And I can talk about that if your questions are specific about that. And as you speak, I feel like, oh my God, yes, I can totally remember times where I would be overwhelmed before authentic relating, because I was trying to guess. And once I take responsibility for how I feel, and now I'm receiving the other, and I don't have to guess the other, because the other hopefully is also practicing authentic relating. But most importantly is that I do not spend energy guessing, analyzing. I feel. I just see what's here. And in that, it may be that you actually become more available to receive information, but the effort has gone. As I feel you asking that question, as I feel myself, as you ask that question, I feel in me that I really want to clarify something that was new for me, which is that I feel more rested with more energy. So I didn't have to guess here. I just went into me and see what's coming up. What is coming up? And the practices, one of the practices, welcome everything, the first practice. The second, if you go on the website, you can download a PDF about this. Welcome everything, which is like, just observe. Doesn't mean accept. It means I observe. Let me just observe and see what comes. And it may be that I cannot observe part of it. Maybe at this moment, what I'm welcoming is looking at you, Magda, who is exactly at the right center of my screen. And that's what I'm available for. Now I have just some sound coming through my door. And so I am also welcoming that. And I notice that I have fear that you are going to be disturbed, and I welcome that. So as I'm talking to you, I didn't prepare. I'm just relating to you right here, what's coming. So the stress, the work has gone. Yeah. And that's actually the courses do not teach you. Well, you practice, we practice a lot, but what we teach is elements, things for us to anchor. Yeah. So when I'm feeling that I'm not here, I am interpret too much, I'm like, connect to self. Take your time. Oh, I'm really finding this resistant. You know, this Zoom is not connecting and it crashed just 5 minutes before. And like, I'm just welcome, welcome. Welcome if it breaks up. Welcome if it needs to be canceled. Well, welcome. And try not to get on the computer. It just gives me so much more information without having to worry. So I really appreciate that question. Because one of the most beautiful practices or even principles of authentic relating is making the implicit explicit. So what we work on is anything that we are perceiving as codes, as underlying subliminal messages, we are going to bring them to the surface. We are going to clarify. We're going to clear the waters. And by doing that, we bring not only what is beautiful, by the way, I'm feeling so connected to you, you know, and maybe I've been implicit because I call you several times or et cetera. No, but I actually feel I'm having these sensations when I speak to you on the phone. And I want to make that explicit to my relationships, to my friendships, to my work colleagues, to my daughter, to my appreciation. But also when I start unveiling other implicities, I may start bringing up things that are not so pleasant, you know? And I'm thinking that is the work that authentic relating can really support us to identify. And then because we become again connected to what is our patterns, then we are more aware. And like Jung would say, if we are aware, we are ready to work with them. How do we bring authentic relating to those who are not interested in doing any authentic relating, who we interpret them to be in their own world, not wanting to change, never going to learn anything different. And we can even go deeper in more assumptions. They don't want to talk to me. They do not want to connect with me. They don't want to know anything about my life. In fact, they judge me. One deeper level. Not only I'm judged by them, but there's no way I can do anything right for them. And I have so much I want to share with them. And yet there's no way I can cut through. That is a story that I imagine. It's likely that we're blaming others because they don't want to do authentic relating with others, but it is on us to perceive, am I open myself for them just as they are? And start observing that what is in me that I need to protect, I need to honor. So there's always a gain, even if the other person is in a totally different frequency in their own project and their own needs. There is a gain from knowing what's going on for me. So that's the first thing, okay? Now, there's also another way, which is how can I bring authentic relating to others when they do not want to do it, when they don't want? And I have experienced this is my mirroring. And that is something that I really recommend because that's really what we learn in the courses. We mirror the practices, and there is magic that happens, is that people around us, they start talking to us in authentic relating ways. The impact of other people's behaviors on us become more conscious. We are more conscious. So we are riding this line of life much more aware. which for some of us, I imagine, is what we really want. We want to experience life to the fullest. And so this is a practice that really helps me with that. Some of you have mentioned that is overwhelming to be vulnerable, that you have come to people, and that's the second theme, that you've come to people and you've basically felt either that you didn't have the space to express, or you felt that after expressing, you have perhaps wasted energy. And this practice is not about, and I'm going to use an expression that my colleague in one of my projects just used. She said, this practice is not about emotional vomiting. This is about taking responsibility for how you are anytime, each time, each moment. And it's something that it doesn't come because you attended a course, but it's supported by having some anchors that you learn from authentic relating and from other practices. Women, very likely, we need to work on our intimacy, in our sexuality, in the ways we deal with our bodies, with our changes, with aging, with menstruation, with lack of menstruation. But authentic relating does give us some anchors for us to take responsibility. So when we open our mouth, we have clarified that we feel safe. Maybe that's what we need, to not feel that you wasted your energy. I am not always available for people to come and tell me their problems. I'm not. Personally, it's not so much about, oh, I'm just going to be myself. It's about me feeling myself in the environment. Every single animal does that. Why don't we? Why we go into interactions where we feel unsafe and then we behave as if we were safe? So that's something that, it's an add-on. It's something I work more myself with my groups, is consent, is boundaries, is feeling safe, asking permission, all that. Authentic relating does include some of that. But it's about taking responsibility to where you are. It's about really connect to self. Connect to self. We always can connect to self. And then magic happens. That's the tip I will leave you with. And then I will hope to see you in one of my courses, because I love seeing you there. Because I love teaching. And I do believe in the things I teach. And if not with me, with my fantastic colleagues. So I hope to see you very soon, be in touch with you in the different platforms, and yeah, connect with me. Lots of love. Thank you for coming. And let me know if anybody else needs more information or anything. Take care. And connect to self.